At 7:25, after winning about 20 guineas at whist, Phileas Fogg said goodbye to his distinguished colleagues and left the Reform Club. At 7:50, he opened the door of his house and went inside. Passepartout, who had been conscientiously studying his work schedule, was quite surprised to see Mr. Fogg appear at this unusual hour, committing such an error of timing. According to what was written down, the occupant of Savile Row was not due to return until exactly midnight. Phileas Fogg first went up to his bedroom, then called out, "Passepartout!" Passepartout did not reply. The call couldn't possibly be for him. It wasn't the right time. "Passepartout!" Mr. Fogg repeated without raising his voice. Passepartout appeared. "That's the second time I've called you," said Mr. Fogg.
"But it's not midnight yet," replied Passepartout, with his watch in his hand.
"I know," replied Phileas Fogg, "and I'm not criticizing you. In 10 minutes, we leave for Dover and Calais." A puzzled sort of expression appeared on the Frenchman's roundish face. It was obvious that he had misheard.
"Is Sir off somewhere?" he asked.
"Yes," replied Phileas Fogg. "We are going around the world." With his staring eyes, raised eyelids and eyebrows, limp arms and slumped body, Passepartout at that moment displayed all the symptoms of surprise bordering on stupefaction.
"Around the world?" he muttered.
"In 80 days, replied Mr. Fogg. "So we don't have a moment to spare."
"But what about the suitcases?"
said Passepartout, whose head was rocking involuntarily from right to left.
"No suitcases, just an overnight bag. In it, 2 woolen shirts and 3 pairs of socks. The same for you. We can buy things on the journey. Bring down my raincoat and my travel rug. Get some sturdy shoes. In any case, we won't be doing a lot of walking. Off you go." Passepartout would have liked to respond. He was unable to do so. He left Mr. Fogg's bedroom, went up to his own, and collapsed into a chair. Lapsing into a colloquialism, he said to himself, "Well, that takes the biscuit, just when I was looking forward to a quiet life."
And so, like an automaton, he got ready to leave. Around the world in 80 days? Was he dealing with a madman? No, it was a joke. They were going to Dover. Fair enough. To Calais? Fine. After all, that was nothing for the dear fellow to get upset about when he hadn't set foot in France for 5 years. Perhaps they would get as far as Paris, and, to be honest, he would be pleased to see the great capital city again. But certainly a gentleman who was so careful not to take one step too many would go no further than that. Yes, that was it, quite probably. But it was also a fact that this gentleman, who up to then had been so much of a stay-at-home, was about to set off to get on the move. By 8 o'clock, Passepartout had prepared the smallish bag containing his and his master's clothes. Then, still feeling at a loss, he left his room, carefully closed the door, and rejoined Mr. Fogg. Mr. Fogg was ready. He was carrying under his arm Bradshaw's Continental Railway Steam Transit and General Guide, which was to give him all the information needed for his journey. He took the bag from Passepartout, opened it, and slipped into it a thick wad of those splendid banknotes that are legal tender all over the world. "Have you forgotten anything?" he asked.
"Nothing, sir."
"My raincoat and my rug?"
"Here they are."
"Good. Take this bag." Mr. Fogg handed the bag to Passepartout. "Be careful with it. There are £20,000 inside." Passepartout almost let go of the bag as if the £20,000 had been in gold and too heavy to carry. Master and servant then went downstairs and they double-locked the front door behind them. There was a carriage rank at the far end of Savile Row. Phileas Fogg and his servant got into a cab, which drove quickly to Charing Cross Station, the terminus for one of the branch lines of the South Eastern Railway. At 8:20, the cab stopped in front of the railings of the station. Passepartout jumped down, his master followed and paid the coachman. At that moment, a poor beggar woman with a child in her hands, barefoot in the mud, wearing a tattered shawl over her rags and a battered hat, decorated with a pathetic-looking feather, went up to Phileas Fogg, asking for charity. Mr. Fogg took out of his pocket the 20 guineas he had just won at whist, and, as he gave them to the beggar woman, said, "Take this, my poor woman. I'm glad to have met you." Then he went on. Passepartout felt as if tears were coming to his eyes. His master had made an impression on his heart.